Thank you for leading us in worship. Thank you to the Kids Zone leaders and junior church leaders for leading our kids during this time. I was thinking of different people's lives that I know of within the congregation. And I thought, these are all signs of God at work, reigning, right? That He is the King. Actually, in the Christian calendar, this is Christ the King Sunday. That is, we begin the journey next week, the journey through the year following the life of Christ in the liturgical calendar. So we will be, you know, next week we begin the anticipation for the coming of the Messiah. But as the year goes along and we go through Jesus' life and ministry and death and resurrection, and we've been looking at the book of Acts and the ministry that takes place, and yet it was in Jesus' resurrection that God declared that Jesus is the King. He is the hero that was coming, promised long ago. And so we celebrate that. And so the Christians, their early declaration of faith was simply, Jesus is Lord. That was it. Because in that day, it was Caesar is Lord. That's what you had to say otherwise, right? And they're like, no, he's a pretender. Jesus is Lord. Well, this morning, you are going to get a break from me. That's because we have something else planned. As we were meeting a while ago as leaders in our church, we were saying, you know what? We have not done an Alpha course since before COVID. Now, some of you know what the Alpha course is. You have been on Alpha courses. You have led an Alpha course. Some of you have participated in Alpha course, and some of you are wondering, I don't know exactly what this is. Alpha is a practical introduction to the Christian faith. It began many years ago in Holy Trinity Brompton Church back in the UK. And it was especially, how do we help people who are exploring faith or the big questions and meaning of life? How do we create a wonderful atmosphere in which everyone feels welcome to come? And that usually happens around food, free food, right? So you're going to get a taste of the Alpha course this morning, except instead of getting to eat beforehand, you're going to get to eat afterwards, okay? So, but you can imagine as you're eating that, that's what you would be doing. We would invite people, maybe friends, colleagues, neighbors, to come to an informal setting where it begins with a meal, and then there's going to be a short video. It's about 20 minutes long, and we thought, how better to give you a sample of what that is than play you the introductory Alpha video so you know exactly what you would be inviting people to, okay? And it is an introduction to the Christian faith, but also to explore the meaning of life. And I can tell you that we do have a better story. There are many alternate stories out there that try to guide and direct our lives. And in Alpha, we also, after you've watched the video, then there is an open discussion. The good news is, if you're a leader, you don't have to have all the answers. You facilitate the discussion that takes place. And no question is out of bounds. No question is too dumb or too difficult, and sometimes we can't always answer the question, but together we believe that as we explore the meaning and significance, as we explore why faith and why would that matter at all, and what difference would that make, that as we do that then in an open discussion around tables, that we believe that God is at work in this because God wants to give purpose and meaning to our lives. And so that is, we have more information on our website, but I think after you have experienced the Alpha course, now today we're going to have English captions on there. But you should know that what we are also planning is same video, but with captions. We can have them. We have it, Alpha also has produced this with Mandarin, Cantonese, Farsi, Korean, many different languages, and so we are also working at having laptops, so it'll be running in sync, and then you can just look down on your laptop, I guess you could do it on your phone too, and follow along, so if English, you know, is not your best language. You can choose one that is the best language for you to make sure that you understand that. And we then will need people with multiple languages to be able to help facilitate the discussion so that making it as easy as possible for anyone and everyone to participate. Are you with me? Okay, so let us play. Welcome to Alpha.
Hi, I'm Nikki. Welcome to Alpha. Life is busy. Every day we ask so many questions. What should I wear? What's the weather going to be like? What's happening today? How am I going to fit everything in? But then there are those bigger questions. Like, why am I here? Where am I heading? Is this it? Is there more to life than this? These are life's big questions, but there's rarely enough time to think them through properly.
We all have different perspectives on the meaning of life and faith, and Alpha is an opportunity to explore life's big questions.
This is a great place to come together and talk about them openly and honestly. I'm Gemma.
I'm Toby.
And this is Alpha.
I go on Google.
I definitely Google.
I go on Wikipedia.
Internet.
I scroll through all the different answers, and then I try and combine it, and then make my own kind of like cornerstone.
Or smart friends.
I don't ask big life questions. It's too hard to answer.
Google or my grandmother.
I meditate or I read.
When I have a big life questions, I probably go to my family.
I haven't really had any massive ones yet.
To my mom or my dad, basically.
My mom or my dad, maybe my grand.
I get most of my answers from the library, in any section there, because I don't really trust the people that I'm around.
The key is always to yourself. You got to figure some things out for yourself.
If I'm confused, I go to him first, and he confuses me more.
But when it's something more personal, I try to find it within myself first.
Friends of mine told me that the first night they came to Alpha, they sat in their car for half an hour waiting and watching people going in. And eventually when they'd seen enough normal looking people going in, they thought they'd give it a try.
And one thing that might be going through your mind is, am I going to be the only one there who doesn't believe all this stuff, who's not a Christian, that doesn't go to church? Well, if that's you, then you're in the right place. Alpha is designed for people who wouldn't call themselves Christians or who are not regular churchgoers.
It might feel a bit strange to be discussing life and faith with people that you've never met before, but the best thing about Alpha is often the great friendships that are formed over the weeks.
For much of my life, I was not remotely interested in Christianity. In fact, I don't think I'd ever come to something like Alpha. I was not brought up as a Christian. My father was a secular Jew. He was an agnostic, and my mother didn't go to church, and I had no interest at all in Christianity. First of all, I just thought it was so boring. Everything to me about church, Christianity, religion was just dull and dreary. And it kind of made me feel a little bit guilty. I didn't know why, but I just didn't want to have anything to do with it. And I also thought it was untrue. I thought I'd sort of thought it through, and I'd come up with these intellectual objections, and I called myself, very pretentiously, I called myself a logical determinist. And I quite enjoyed arguing with people who called themselves Christians. And at university, I had a bit of a reputation for being an argumentative atheist. And I also thought it was irrelevant to my life. I couldn't see how someone who'd lived 2,000 years ago, 2,000 miles away, could have any relevance to my life today. It just seemed outdated and irrelevant. But at the same time, looking back now, I would say something was missing. I say that because I don't think I was living in the moment. I was always looking forward to the next thing in life. So when I was at school, I was thinking, when I finish my exams, maybe that will be when I'm going to really start to enjoy life. I finished my exams, and then after about 3 weeks, I started to think, there's got to be more to life than this. And I thought, well, maybe when I've left school, that will be what life's all about. And then I left school, and after about 3 weeks, I started to think, there's got to be more to life than this. I thought, well, maybe the answer is to get a girlfriend. And somehow, I don't know how I managed it, but I managed to find a girlfriend. Again, after about 3 weeks, I started to think, there's got to be more to life than this. And basically, there was something missing. I was longing for more.
The actor Jim Carrey once said, I wish everyone could get rich and famous and have everything they've ever dreamed of, so they would know that's not the answer. Some people dream of having their name in lights, of fame and fortune. Some people dream of finding happiness through relationships, careers, money, whatever it may be. But do you ever get that niggly feeling that as good as those things are, there must be more to life?
Yeah, all too often, life just doesn't turn out the way we think it should. And even when it does and we achieve our wildest dreams, it's somehow never quite enough. It just doesn't satisfy. It's like there's something missing. The comedian and actor Russell Brand said, drugs and alcohol are not my problem. Reality is my problem. Drugs and alcohol are my solution to fill up a hole inside me. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. In other words, I'm the one who fulfills the longing that's deep inside every human heart. Jesus claimed to be the one person who can satisfy that spiritual hunger.
Freddie Mercury, the lead singer of the rock group Queen, had amassed a huge fortune and attracted millions of fans. But he admitted in an interview shortly before his death that he was desperately lonely. He said this, you can have everything in the world and still be the loneliest man, and that's the most bitter type of loneliness. Success has brought me world idolization and millions of pounds, but it's prevented me from having the one thing we all need, a loving, ongoing relationship.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Ultimately, there's only one relationship that is totally loving and goes on forever, and that's a relationship with God. And Jesus said, I am the way to that relationship.
Maybe money.
What makes me happy? Music. Music, ice cream, and cheese.
Sleep makes me happy.
No, going to the gym, seeing my friends, going to the pub, playing football.
Dogs.
Alcohol.
Women. Pretty much.
The idea of life in general makes me happy.
Clothes. Women.
More to life than this.
That's a really good question.
I don't know, I can't tell you.
I think we're supposed to learn a couple of things. There's nothing more.
I'm still figuring that out, to be honest.
No. It's live in the moment.
Absolutely. I strongly believe that there's more to life than this.
No idea. Sorry.
When I was about 17, I was sitting having a burger with two friends, and we were looking out the window and commenting on a few of the stores across the street, and I suddenly realized that I couldn't read any of the signs, even if I squinted. So I asked if I could borrow one of my friend's pair of glasses, and as soon as I put them on, I realized I could see everything, like colors, shapes, words. I was amazed at how everything was so clear. And I could see before, but now I could really see. And to me, that's the best way to describe the difference that Jesus makes. Jesus is the lens through which we see God. And he's also the lens by which we see the world in a totally different way.
Jesus said, I am the truth. Some people's response to a Christian might be, well, it's great for you, you found meaning and purpose in your life, but it's not for me. But when you think about it, that's not actually a logical position, because if Christianity is true, it's of vital importance to every one of us. And if it's not true, it's not great for us, because it means we're deluded. C.S. Lewis was one of the great intellectual giants of the 20th century, probably best known as the author of The Chronicles of Narnia. He said this, Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. I come from a family of lawyers, so naturally I wanted to look at the original documents and sources. I never really looked at the evidence before, and I was astonished at how much evidence there is for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. For me, it was through reading these documents that we find in the New Testament that I came to the conclusion, it's true. One of the last cases I did as a lawyer was in the Court of Appeal in front of Lord Denning, an absolutely brilliant mind, perhaps the greatest judge of the 20th century. He said on one occasion that his Bible was his most tattered book in his library. He'd examined the evidence really carefully, and he came to the conclusion, it's true. One former professor of history at Oxford University described the resurrection as the best attested fact in history. I hadn't realized how many of the pioneers of modern science were believers. Descartes, Newton, Kepler, Galileo, Locke, Copernicus, Faraday, Kelvin, Pasteur. Francis Collins, one of the greatest scientists of our time, was director of the Human Genome Project, mapping the 3 billion letters in the human DNA, considered by many to be the most significant scientific undertaking of our time. He describes how he encountered Jesus and came to believe in the truth of Christianity.
Well, in the home where I grew up, faith was not something that was talked about very much. My father was a professor of drama, my mother a playwright. When I went to college and those discussions in the dorm late at night about religion began to occur, I had no particular reason to attach value to a faith system. It had never been something I was familiar with or had internalized at all. And I assumed that any religious feelings that anyone held must be on the basis of some emotional experience, and I didn't trust those, or on the basis of some childhood indoctrination, which I felt I was fortunate to have missed. I loved the experience of learning about the human body and all of the components of that, and I particularly loved being introduced to genetics. But then I ended up in the medical school curriculum, sitting at the bedside of patients with diseases. This was no longer an abstract study of molecules and organ systems. These were real people. And one afternoon, one of my patients, a wonderful elderly woman, much like a grandmother, who had very bad heart disease. She had a particularly bad episode of chest pain while I was with her. She got through it, and at the end of that, explained to me how her faith was the thing that helped her in that situation. She realized that the doctors around her weren't really giving her that much help, but her faith was. And after she finished her own very personal description of that faith, she turned to me, and I had been silent, and she looked at me quizzically, and she said, "What do you believe, doctor?" And ultimately, I had to admit to myself that her question had made me realize that I had arrived at an answer to the most important issue that we humans ever deal with. Is there a God? And I had arrived there without ever really looking at the evidence. And I was supposed to be a scientist. If there's one thing scientists claim they do, is to arrive at conclusions based upon evidence. And I hadn't taken the trouble to do that. I was greatly assisted by a pastor who lived down the road, who I went and asked about all this, and who gave me a copy of C.S. Lewis's wonderful book, Mere Christianity. Because here was an Oxford scholar, a prodigiously developed intellect, who had traveled the same path. Within those pages, I realized for the first time that one can come to belief on a rational basis, and that in fact, given the many pointers that one sees around oneself in terms of the universe and it having a beginning, and its fine-tuning in terms of the way in which all those constants that determine the behavior of matter and energy seem to have been set just in a certain very precise range to make life possible, and many other things, including my beloved mathematics and why they actually work anyway to describe the universe, something that makes you think the Creator must have been a mathematician. That brought me then to the person of Jesus Christ as a person who was historically extremely well documented. That was news to me. I thought Christ was as much myth as history, and I realized after reading more about it, this was a historical figure upon which we have a great deal of evidence for his existence and his teachings, and even his rising from the dead in a literal way. That day at my patient's bedside started a journey for me, a journey that I was reluctant to begin, but I felt I needed to, a journey that I thought would result in strengthening my atheism, but to my surprise, resulted in my conversion.
There's a difference between knowing facts about someone and really knowing them personally. Now, I've known my husband, Phil, for 3 years now, but suppose if, before we met, I found him on a website called The Amazing Man. Now, there's no doubt I would have looked at him and thought, okay, I'm intrigued. But what if each page was dedicated to his amazing abilities, his sparkling personality, his tender heart, his extraordinary intelligence, and his cooking abilities? Well, I would think, wow, he does sound like an amazing person. But that's head knowledge. But I also have the privilege of being married to him, and I know that he's an amazing person, which is knowledge that comes from experience of a relationship, and that's heart knowledge.
When Jesus said, "I am the truth," he was talking about more than just a kind of intellectual truth. The Hebrew understanding of truth was truth as experienced. And there's a big difference between a kind of intellectual knowledge and a personal knowledge, between your head and your heart. So when someone says, "I know Jesus is the truth," they're not just talking about being convinced of the evidence. They're also talking about experiencing a relationship with the risen Jesus Christ. So Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth," and lastly, he said, "I am the life. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." Jesus came to deal with the things in our lives that stop us from enjoying life to the full, the things that spoil our lives.
I hate shopping. I loathe it. I think I'm allergic to shopping. But occasionally, my wife, Pippa, persuades me to go shopping. And just after Christmas, it was the sales, and she persuaded me to go shopping. And we went into the shop, and we bought this very nice new sweater, the same colour as all my other sweaters. And we left the shop, and we went to buy a present for her. And we went into this ghastly shop. It was so crowded. It was unbelievable. And even Pippa had had enough, and she said, OK, we're leaving. So we went to leave. And as we left, the security alarm went off. And the security guys moved in very quickly, and they stopped us all from leaving. And, like, the crowd that was trying to leave was stopped, and the crowd that was trying to come in was stopped. And we were there, right in the middle. The six of us who were going through the security at that one time were all taken off and sectioned off from all the rest. And they wanted to see which one of the six of us had set off the alarm. So they sent one of them through, and that was fine. They obviously hadn't set it off. Then they sent the next one through. They obviously hadn't set it off. Then the third, then the fourth. None of them set it off. So it was left with Pippa and I were standing there, and I thought, oh my goodness, I'm married to a shoplifter. It must be Pippa who's got set off the alarm. So they sent her through, and she didn't set it off. So I thought, oh my goodness, I've obviously got something. Someone must have planted something on me. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be sent to prison. All the crowd were watching, both sides. They were just watching this criminal who'd been caught going through. So they went through, and as I went through, the alarm went off. They took me to the side. They opened up my rucksack on my back, and there they found this sweater from the other shop with the tag still on it. I felt so guilty. That was like false guilt. I also sometimes experience true feelings of guilt because I do things that are not right, that are not good. And this is the wonderful news, that God loves you and he loves me. God came in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and for me. And on the cross, he took all of your guilt, all of my guilt, everything you've ever done wrong, everything I've ever done wrong, said wrong, thought wrong, and he died in our place in order that we could be forgiven. And forgiveness, C.S. Lewis said, it's like a recording of our life wiped completely clean. And when we receive that forgiveness, we find life, and life in all its fullness. And that's what Jesus wants for you and for me. Life in all its fullness, life at its very, very best.
I think for so many years, you know, I always just strived to be strong in myself. And it was as if that all I needed was me and my buddies and, you know, we'd be like invincible. But the truth is, none of us are. And I don't want to do this thing called life. I don't want to do it on my own. And it kind of feels like my longing for this light inside is now stronger than my fear of what others might think. And people often ask, well, doesn't that make faith like a crutch? And, you know, well, maybe, but, you know, what does a crutch do? A crutch helps you stand, and it makes you stronger. And in that case, you know, sure, I need a bit of that. But especially when it's so much more than that, when this faith inside is also like a backbone, helping me stand tall and helping me be strong when I'm really up against it, facing those odds, whether it's on a mountain or stuck in some jungle or just dealing with the storms, you know, with the storms of life. Sure, I need it, I need that. But at heart, my Christian faith says that I'm known to Christ, bought at a price, blessed with light. Faith says that we're loved regardless of our mess, regardless of how many times we fall down, and that Jesus somehow picks me up. And sure, you know, I'll reach out to that. Why wouldn't I?
I used to think Christianity was boring, untrue, and irrelevant. But when I read about Jesus, I realized he was anything but. Jesus said he's the way to God. He's the one who brings meaning and purpose to your life. He said he's the truth. He said he's the life, that true fulfillment is found in a relationship with God through him.
Alpha is a place where you can be yourself. You can say what you think and challenge everything. Now, no question is too complex or too simple. And what your point of view is as important as anyone else's.
And over the weeks ahead, we are going on a journey together, an adventure to explore the questions of life, faith, and meaning. Think of it this way. If you live to be 70, you're going to spend 20 years and 3 months asleep, 10 years and 5 months watching TV, 5 years and 9 months in some form of transportation, 7 years and 6 months eating and drinking. You have approximately 570,000 hours left to live. So why not spend less than 24 of them asking life's biggest questions?
Welcome to Alpha.
Don't you have people in your life that you wish would be able to see that and you'd be able to sit and talk to them about that? Maybe you yourself, you saw that and something in you is stirring and you think, wow, maybe there's more to this than I've thought about before. Maybe God is stirring you to be one of those that comes and participates in it. Maybe God is stirring in your heart to be praying for people that will come. Maybe God is stirring in your heart, I'd like to be involved. How can I help? Well, there's lots of different ways that you can help out and to be involved. Of course, you can bring a friend. That is the best thing to do. Bring someone along. But also, maybe you've been on an Alpha course before, and you could be one of the table hosts. Maybe you could be the person who helps provide the food for that as we eat each week. Maybe you say, I love kids. You know, people that come with kids, maybe you could be the one that helps look after them as the video and discussion is taking place. So there are lots of different ways to be involved. And today, at the Connection lunch, there's going to be a table. And Rob, our elder who introduced this last week, he's going to be at the table, and you're going to know there because there's going to be a sign on there that says, coming January 2025 with a big red question mark on it. That's the table. So in the course of the meal, as we're eating together before or after or during, you know, you can stop by that table. And if you would be interested in being involved in some way, please talk to him. That's the opportunity that you have. If you have questions, you know, you are free to talk to him or talk to myself as well. We would love to be able to answer those questions. We'd love you to be able to be involved. And we thought we wanted to introduce this before the Advent season, because often as we invite people out during the Advent season to a service or to a special event that we're having, it's also something, if there's a curiosity that's sparked, if God, you sense God working in their lives, it's a wonderful opportunity to be able to invite, you know what, we're having this thing called Alpha. It's an opportunity to explore the meaning of life and how God can be a part of that. And we'd love to have you. And so there is information on our website. We're going to be starting January 13th. We're planning to do it. I think we're planning to do it in here. Are we? I don't know where we're planning to do it. No, we might be up in the, we don't know. We'll see. If we have lots of people, we'll do it in a big space. If it's, we can adjust to that. We've got lots of wonderful spaces that we can do that. So right now, I'm going to pray. As I'm praying, the worship team can come up. And I want you, maybe God has been speaking into your heart this morning in some way, to listen to God and to begin that conversation back with Him. Maybe to be praying for someone or several people that you could invite. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to give us life, to give us hope and meaning. You came, Lord, to fill that deep longing within our heart. The Bible says that you have set eternity in our hearts. Lord, because you are the only one who can fill that void within us. Lord, we pray that, we want to pray this morning as well for those, Lord, who need to have that void in their life filled. Lord, we pray that in these coming days and weeks, Lord, you would give us opportunity, maybe with neighbors, friends, family members, Lord, to invite them out, Lord, to a Christmas service or event, or Lord, also to invite them out to a place where they can explore the meaning of life together. Lord, we thank you that you are a wonderful God and that we have an opportunity to share this message with others and to apply it to our own lives. Lord, we pray this all in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.